Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been in a study on the book of Hebrews. We've been going chapter by chapter. In the fourth chapter, we looked at how Jesus is our high priest at God's right hand. He is risen from the dead, and he is seated at God the Father's right hand. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always defending us, pleading our case when we use his name, when we call on his name, when we turn to him, when we lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus lifts you up before the Father, and he declares good things about you in the sight of God. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We come how? Boldly, confidently, heads lifted high, even if we missed it. We don't. No, because we know we got an advocate. We've got an attorney. We've got an intercessor. We've got Jesus right there at the right hand of the Father. He's fighting for us. So we come boldly. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Not hope and wish we get it. We come in faith to obtain what belongs to us, into what he promised to give us when we come to him. To obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And that grace is the strength and ability of God so that you can live a kind of life where you don't need mercy. Because mercy is for those that miss it. But grace enables you to live the kind of life where you don't miss it. And if you don't miss it, then you don't need to come for mercy. See, we don't always have. How many people know Jesus never came to the Father for mercy for himself? He never came and said, oh, Father, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone there. No, the Bible says he never sinned. He was without sin. And how did he do that? He did it by the ability of the Father through the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. The Spirit of God living in him. Jesus lived a life of faith. When he came into this world, he was not perfect. He was not perfect. Children, when they come into this world, they're not perfect. Pure, innocent in the sense that they don't understand right and wrong, but then they grow up. Jesus, he had to grow up. As he grew up, he grew closer and closer to the Father. He drew nearer and nearer to the Father. He laid hold at a very, very early age while still a child. He laid hold of the Father's purpose and plan for his life. He laid hold of his destiny. And he grew in his faith. Jesus had to live and walk by faith just like you and I. And through faith in God, in him, he overcame the devil. He overcame every temptation. He overcame every kind of sinful thing that was hurled against him. He was tempted at all points and yet without sin. And he had to do that by faith. He had to grow up spiritually. It was not automatic for Jesus. He had to grow up. He had to be faithful to the Father's plan. He could have missed it. Now, it's impossible for God to sin, but when God became a man in the person of Jesus, he became a man. And he was tempted at all points. God cannot be tempted by evil, the Bible says. But Jesus was tempted by evil. And so he had to resist temptation just like you and I. And he did it. He did it, and he became perfect. He became perfect. We see that over in Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 8. It's as though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How do you know God don't have to learn anything? God does not have to learn anything. God is all-knowing. He doesn't have to learn anything. Jesus had to learn things, just like you and I. He didn't come out into this world knowing everything. He had to learn it. And notice, it says he learned obedience. He learned to obey. How? By the things which he suffered. Why did children get spanked? Right? There's some suffering involved in that, right? There's some suffering involved in that. Well, Bible says not to spare the rod. We're not talking about doing something in anger. We're not talking about doing something in frustration. We're not talking about doing something in hate. But there is a discipline, and discipline brings suffering. It causes suffering. So Jesus himself suffered. He suffered. But through the sufferings, he learned obedience. God doesn't suffer. He's not subject to human weaknesses. I said he's not subject to human weaknesses, yet Jesus was. He became subject to human weaknesses. Now notice verse 9, Hebrews 5. It says, and having been perfected. Having been perfected. In other words, he wasn't automatically perfect when he came into the world. He became perfect. He was perfected. Praise God, I'm so glad he succeeded, aren't you? Yeah. His success is our salvation. And that's what it goes on to say. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Let's go on here. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. You'll see this high priest. We'll be talking more about this in later chapters. But the book of Hebrews says a lot about Jesus as our high priest. Much to learn about him as our high priest. And it goes on, verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice you and I are to become more discerning. In other words, just like Jesus, how he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and was perfected, you and I are to be doing the same thing. We are to be learning to obey God. I want to obey him more than I ever have before. And since getting saved, I've wanted to please him. Not please my flesh, not please me. I want to please him. And that should be the cry, that is the cry of every new born again child of God. Well, we need to grow in that. I said we need to grow in that, not begin to grow dull, but to grow even more sensitive to the heart of God. More sensitive to what displeases him, what would be disobeying him. We want to become more discerning between what is good in the sight of God, not necessarily what's good in the sight of man, but what's good in the sight of God and what's evil in the sight of God. Not necessarily what's evil in the sight of man, because many times man gets it all mixed up. They call evil good and good evil. Yeah. See, so we're not watching the world. We're not looking at the world to learn about good and evil. In fact, the more you look at the world to learn how to live your life, the more you're going to become dull to what really is good and what really is evil. But the more we look at him, the more sensitive we become to what is good in the sight of God and what is evil. And so we could become more obedient to him. And that might mean letting go of some things, turning loose of some stuff, going in a different direction than you've been going in life. And that can require some suffering. Letting go of some things, breaking off some relationships. You know, you got these soul things that you're connected to. It's got all kinds of sentimental value to it. And you realize this displeases God. This is not good in the sight of God. I gotta let this go. I got to be able to go on and follow God. There's some things I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to go away from. And we got to be willing to do that. I said that we got to be willing to do that. That's what separates the babies from the mature, from those that are growing more dull, and those that are becoming more mature, becoming perfected, just like their master Jesus. Just like their master Jesus, where we can live a life where we're not always walking around needing mercy for everything because we're always missing it. But we're walking by faith in obedience to God, where His grace is sufficient. His grace is keeping us on track. His grace is keeping us from messing up our lives, messing up other people's lives, saying and doing the wrong thing. If we become super sensitive to Him, discerning both good and evil, then we're going to know right away, don't say that. Don't go there. Don't do this. No, that's not right. But we see when we're dull and we're not sensitive, then we just get right in there in the middle of the mess that everybody else is in, and we can't tell the difference. It's like a little baby can't tell its left hand from its right hand. Here's a Christian, a baby Christian, can't even tell its left hand from its right. Can't tell the difference between good and evil. Can't tell the difference, right? They're screaming in their face, evil screaming right in their face. Can't even tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. I don't want to be like that. And yet, if we're not moving forward, we're backsliding. We're sliding away, and we have to remind ourselves that there is no neutral spiritually. There's no neutral ground spiritually, right? Jesus said, you're for me or you're, again, He didn't say you can kind of hang out down the middle. With God, it is extreme God. I said it's extreme God. Now, the thing about that is it's extremely good. It's extremely good in God. See, so we want to be extreme God because we want His extreme good. We want His extreme best in our life. I don't want just a little blessing. I mean, even the wicked are experiencing some of the goodness of God just by being here on planet Earth. I mean, just being here on Earth, I mean, God's goodness is in the world. But I want His extreme. I want this life overflowing, abundant, unceasing, absolute fullness kind of life. Don't you? I mean, just full of life. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're just full of Jesus, full of eternal, unceasing, absolute fullness of life. That's what you and I should be looking for and should be hungering for, thirsty for, and just partaking of the Word, partaking of His presence. That's why He's so good. He gives us a church service like this, where you could just come and a table's been prepared for you in the presence of your enemy, and He puts anointing on things, and then through that anointing, He just begins to feed you stuff, and He begins to do a tremendous supernatural work in your life. I mean, it's supernatural what God is doing. He's growing us up. He's developing us. He's making us sharper, getting the dullness off that robs us. It robs us of reaping good things, because if we're dull, we're going to sow negative things. And we're not going to be able to reap the fullness of the benefits of the blessing of God on our life. So many people are struggling in life. Why be struggling when you could be receiving the blessing? The blessing, the blessing, the blessing replaces the struggling in life. Can you say amen? So here He goes on and He talks about being dull and then having a hard time explaining things, having a hard time teaching spiritual things that's kind of meaty. And we have to understand that dullness affects utterance. Dullness affects utterance. If people are dull, it affects what ministers can do. It affects the kind of ministry God can provide to you. I mean, God can come in His glory, but if people are dull, they're going to miss out on much of what He's doing. We see that with Peter, James, and John. You know, there was a natural illustration of this where, you know, they went up on top of a mountain while Jesus was praying, and the Bible says the glory cloud came in that place, and they were just enveloped in this cloud. It was God's glory, and Jesus became full of light. Light began to radiate out of Him. Moses and Elijah, two Old Testament prophets, appear in the glory and begin to speak with Jesus. Peter, James, and John are right there. But the Bible says, but they being heavy with sleep, did not see what was going on. It tells us that they saw his glory when they were fully awake. And Peter begins to utter things right there in the middle of that glory where God the Father's voice came from heaven, had to rebuke him. I mean, he was so out of it of what was going on. He was so being carnally minded, he didn't even know what was going on all around him. Man, think about that. You could be in the glory of God and miss the whole thing. Miss the whole thing. Jesus walked right past you. Miss the whole thing. And the Bible even tells us over in Hebrews 13, it talks about angels, that we need to entertain strangers, for some have unknowingly entertained angels. I mean, there's things going on. I mean, you know, I don't want to cut an angel off on the road, you know what I'm saying? An angel pulls out in front of me and is trying to slow me down, you know? And I'm like, come on, come on, come on. Where'd you get your license? In a raffle? And meanwhile, you got this angelic being sitting in the car trying to slow things down for me. And then I get to heaven, I find out, remember that traffic jam? Yeah, I remember it. Oh, I didn't know it was you. No, you didn't know because you were out of touch. You weren't sensitive to the Spirit of God. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be out of touch to what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. And so we flow into Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And he says, therefore, seeing these things, seeing that we don't want to be dull and we want to go on to perfection, just like Jesus. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to Jesus was perfected, wasn't he? But you see, the Bible never just leaves it with Jesus. I mean, the Word of God teaches us about Jesus. We need to know Jesus. But it doesn't just stop with, oh, wow, he went on and was perfected, and he is wonderful. True, doesn't stop there. Jesus went on to perfection so that now you, being born of his Spirit, born again, seeking to obey him and follow him, now you can go on to perfection. And he says, therefore, leaving the elementary principles of Christ, no, it's moving on from the basics, let us go on to perfection. Thank God for the basics. But that's not all we should know is the basics. There's a lot more than just the basics. There are elementary principles of Christ. It's kind of like in the natural, natural education. You know, you start in kindergarten, and you move into first grade, and second grade, and third grade, and you move up, and the education, you know, should be getting a little bit more complex, and you should be growing in your intelligence. Same thing spiritually. Same thing spiritually. Here, he's rebuking a church because the dough. He says, you're babies. He said, in fact, you ain't even acting like you're in kindergarten. You're still on the bottle. Think about that. You're still on the bottle, guys. Are you kidding me? You need to be growing up. You need to be maturing. There's a lot more where these basics came from. There's a lot more insight and revelation that's going to take you a lot further than you've ever been before. I mean, you've tasted and seen. The Lord is good. Don't you want more? Come on, let's go on. Let's go into the deeper things of God. Let's go on. There's a higher level of thinking. And your life will never rise above your level of thinking. If you got low-level babyhood thinking, then that's the kind of living you're going to experience. Now, the problem with that is people that's all they know, that's all they know. And so they think that's good. They think that's normal. But then God gives us his word to help us to see, no, it's not normal to stay a baby. There's a lot more. There's a lot more to know. There's a lot more of God to walk in life. A lot more. A lot more of God to be had in your life. Lots more. Lots more. Where the world can't hold a candle to the brilliancy, the light of his glory. And again, why do people get so tempted by the things of the flesh? Because they're in the flesh. The more in the flesh a person is, the more appealing and attractive and normal the things of the flesh are. But the Bible tells us there's a place we can get over into the glory of God where Jesus himself walked in. Where you could just, well, as the song goes, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Strangely dim, you know. Sometimes you kind of look when you think back to where you were and where you are. You start thinking, is there something wrong with me? I mean, those things in the world, they don't affect me at all. And yet they used to control your life. No, nothing wrong with you. Praise God. There's a lot right with you. But it can actually feel that way. It's like, wow. Because you know why? Because you get dull, really dull to the things of the world when you get really discerning to the things of God. So you're either becoming dull to the world and more discerning of God, or you're becoming dull to God and more discerning of the world. More sensitive to the hyper-sensitive to the world. All the devil has to do is go, woo-hoo, you, yeah. Devil just goes, woo-hoo, yeah. You're super sensitive to the world. He just goes, woo-hoo, look over here, woo-hoo. And there you go. See? And so it's so easy to just run right into his snares, run right into his traps, because you're so super sensitive to the things of the world. But I want it the other way around. The Holy Spirit goes, hey, yes, Lord. Today, Lord. Now. Do this, do that. Yes, Lord. And we just move with him. We're so sensitive. And the world is over there banging and smashing the cymbals and trying to get your attention. Like, oh, I thought I heard something. Can it be that way? Yes, it can. Absolutely should be that way. That's how it gets as we grow spiritually mature. Amen. Now, I see a baby just whine about that.
Well, it's not that way for me. I just feel so God. I said, oh,
grow up. Have some vitamins. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. Let's stop whining about where we've been and where we've been and realize, whoo, I can grow up out of this mess. Yes. Hallelujah, there's hope for me. In Jesus, I can grow out of this mess. I don't have to live it right. I'm stumbling around, controlled by desires and feelings and all, I'm offended at this one and bothered by this thing and all these things kicking me around, being so sensitive, hypersensitive to the flesh. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. Man, that's put hope in your heart, praise God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, like, well, really? Yes, it's true. Amen. And you can have it too. Just grow up, man. Just grow dull towards the world. People get all hyped up about stuff. You just look and go, uh-huh. Means nothing to you. Means nothing to you. Oh, that's peace. Peace. Oh, thank God for peace. Peace over us. Oh, man, to have peace that surpasses all understanding, where nothing moves us. We're just not bothered by stuff. We're not irritated. Devil's screaming. It's like, whatever. We're not interested. He comes, he lies, he deceives, tries to scare you. You get peace. Peace. Peace is the result of being dull to the devil. Peace is dullness to the devil. That's what it is. The reason why you have peace in God is because you're dull to the devil. He comes, he lies, he tries to move you with fear, he tries to stir, you got peace. What do you mean? You're dull. You're dull to the devil. Wow, hallelujah. Peace from God is simply being dull towards the devil. That's all it is. That's why heaven's full of peace, because they're dull towards the devil. He's got no voice there anymore. Can you say amen? Amen? So notice he goes on, he says, therefore, verse 1, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. So he's letting us know right here, repentance from dead works is an elementary principle of Christ. It's a principle, it's a fundamental truth. It's a foundation that we build our Christian faith on. So it's fundamental, it's elementary, it's basic. And yet, there's all this teaching in the body of Christ today how Christians don't need to repent of sin. Christians don't need to repent of sin because Jesus already forgave them from all their sins. So when they got born again, they made Jesus the Lord of their life, they never had to repent for sin ever again. Listen, this is basic. This is basic. And yet, much of the body of Christ is confused about these things. We don't understand. Repentance is basic, and thank God for it. Because as we do repent for missing it, we can grow up in the grace of God and begin to not fall in the same areas that we were falling in before. How many people know a 10-year-old should be walking a little different than a 2-year-old? Just a little different, right? And a 15-year-old should probably outrun a 10-year-old, right? I mean, you should be maturing, should be growing in our walk in life. And so repentance is something, it's a part of who we are. We repent. We don't get things right. When we do things in the flesh, because that's what dead works are, it's doing things in the flesh. The things you do in the flesh is just dead. There's no life to it. Well, man, I repent of that. I don't want a bunch of dead works. I don't want a bunch of dead works. So we repent of that. So that's a doctrine that sticks around, praise God. It's not going anywhere. It's a part of the New Testament. Don't let anybody talk you out of repentance. It's a blessing. It's an acknowledging I've missed it. And by acknowledging I missed it is to acknowledge that that behavior, that I did there is wrong, which causes you to separate yourself from it. But if you've never called it out for what it is and repent of it so that you don't identify with it anymore and say, that's not me. This is who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I repent of that. Yeah. See, by doing that, you're disconnecting yourself from that so you can grow up out of that. But if you don't ever repent of stuff and you let yourself get by with stuff, you let yourself get by with fleshy stuff, it's going to hinder you from growing up. So we got to stay on top of that flesh. And then he says, going on concerning these elementary principles of Christ, he says, and a faith towards God. We have our faith in God. It's another translation. Faith in God. Faith towards God. Our faith is in it. Our faith is not in stuff. I don't have faith in a boat. Well, I got faith in that I'm going to have a boat. I have faith in this house. I have faith in God. And when you put your faith in him and keep him before you, all these other things that you have need of will be added unto you. We do request things to God. We make our requests known to him. We ask for the things that we have need of in life. He tells us to come and ask for the things that we need. And so we ask in faith, in God. Our faith is in him. Our faith is in his promises, in his faithfulness, not in having this and having that. So it's not faith for things, it's faith in God. Then he says, faith towards God, verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. Notice it's plural. Baptisms, because there's more than one baptism. There's being your spirit baptized into Christ. Then there's water baptism. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Basic. Most of the body of Christ are going without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All they have is the baptism in water. That's all they got. Baptism in water. But there's baptisms. It's fundamental. This is foundational. Basic. Elementary. People are struggling here. We are to have these things and move on. Build on these things. Let's go forth from here. Lay it on the hands. Mark 16. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It isn't just the leaders of the church will lay hands on leaders to ordain them into the ministry. And yet, so much of the body of Christ. Oh yeah, there's laying on of hands to ordain people in the ministry. Yeah, there is, thank God, but that's not all there is. This is basic. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, God don't need, if God want to heal somebody, you have to lay hands on them. Read your Bible. Stop making up your own rules. Thumbsucker. I mean, it's time to move on from the thumb-sucking stage. There's laying on of hands, somebody. laying on of hands of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Well, now, Christians, when they die, they're not going to be judged for anything bad that they've done in their life. It's going to be just a praise party. God's just going to praise them when they get to heaven. Well, no, the Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E says, it says that we, talking to the church, we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we have done in our body, whether good or evil. Oh yeah, it's all recorded. How we live our life. Jesus said, for every idle word a man speaketh, he'll give an account on the day of judgment. That's us, guys. That's us. So what does that mean? That means if I say some idle words and I got some dead works, I'm not dying until I deal with it, because I ain't taking it to the judgment seat. See, anything you don't deal with now will be dealt with later. Now, you got to get a hold of that reality. It'll change the way you live your life, which will change what you can experience in life. Anything you don't deal with now will be dealt with there. And friend, it's a whole lot easier for you to deal with yourself than for God Almighty to deal with you in the presence of all his holy angels and with his fierce judgment. Are you with me? Yeah. So we deal with things now. I'm going to go ahead and listen to the small, still voice and just go ahead and yield to that now so that I don't have to stand before this thundering voice that the Bible says splinters the cedars of Lebanon. When he speaks, it just splinters things. People get splintered at the judgment seat. I don't want to be one of the ones splintered. Are you with me? So how do you avoid that? You repent for it now. You get it washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God forever. Thank you, Jesus. So be good at judging yourself. Don't let yourself get by with anything. Deal with it. That wouldn't please God. I deal with that right now.
Yeah, but if you deal with that, then that means you're not going to be able to do it anymore. You might not want to deal with that right now because, I mean, that's talking about a lifestyle change. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that anymore if you repent of that. And I mean, you're acknowledging that's bad and you don't want to do that right now. Because if you acknowledge that's bad right now, that means you're not going to be able to do it again. So let's just act like it's not bad right now.
And you have, these little things being stored up for the day of wrath and righteous indignation of God. It's a real day. It's going to happen. But I'm not afraid of it. I am, but I'm not. I mean, I'm afraid of it in the sense that I repent of things that aren't pleasing to him so that I'm not afraid of that day. Yeah. See what I'm saying? I have a fear of God that makes me change now so that I'm not afraid of that day. Because I'm getting it all washed in the blood. I'm judging myself now, which means I'm not afraid to move away from stuff that he's convicting me of. Basically, that's where people get stuck. They get stuck there. They get stuck there. They know if I repent of that, then that means I'm acknowledging that's no good, and I'd rather not do that. I'd rather say it's okay and justify it so that I can keep it, but that's going to cost you. It's going to cost you in this life, and it's going to cost you in the life to come, big time. So we don't want to hang on to things that are going to rob us. And the only reason you hang on to it is because you're so dull to what you could have. You're so dull, insensitive to the ecstasy that's in him, that is awaiting you in God. The world lives on the level of an animal, man. Don't live like an animal. Don't live on their level. Just living in the flesh, thinking, this is so exciting, this is so great, I just love this. So much greater. Somebody say, I'm going on to the greater. I'm moving on from the elementary principles of Christ. I'm going on to perfection. Hallelujah. I like perfection, don't you? Praise God forever. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Remember, God don't have to do nothing. He does what he does out of love. He does what he does out of love for you. We never want to take for granted his mercy and his love. We never want to take for granted the grace to be able to go on to perfection. If we despise that, if we treat that wrong, then we can put ourselves in a position where we're not able to access it anymore. Because even the ability to repent and access these wonderful things is from Him. He permits it. He grants it. He gives it. You would never repent unless God stretched repentance out towards you. So if you have any kind of inkling to repent, that's a gift from God. I would not treat that lightly and shove that down and put that off. Because He might not give it to you again. He might not draw you again to repent in that area. I'll repent of it later. Now, you don't seem to understand. He just permitted you to repent. By you even knowing you need to repent right now, He has permitted that. He has granted that to you. If you reject that, you have no guarantee that later on you will ever repent for that. There's been times I've had to go to God and say, Lord, if there's anything that I put off and I didn't obey, you convicted me, you showed me something, you corrected me, show it to me again. Forgive me, show it to me again. Show it to me again. Because He might not. But if you ask, I believe that's a gift. Show it to me, show it to me again. Then when He shows it, you need to do what you're supposed to do with it. Because if you don't, you may never have that opportunity to repent for that thing again. And it will rob you in life, and then you will stand before Him on Judgment Day and give an account face to face with eyes of fire. Are you with me? See, we got to have the understanding of this, that fear of God. We have to respond to Him. We have to react when He speaks and He moves in our life. We need to move with Him. We need to cooperate with Him. I want to grow up. I want to mature. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to get to heaven dragging a big saggy diaper. People leave their body and Jesus. I mean loaded down, you know what I'm saying? Loaded down, dead works. Diapers full of dead works. You just drag that thing in there. And the Bible talks about actually being ashamed on that day. The Bible talks to Christians. Paul the Apostle, that was something that scared him. He feared for people that they would be ashamed on that day. I mean, have you ever been ashamed before? Something embarrassing happens in front of a crowd of people? Imagine having that in front of Him. You're standing there with this big, and everybody can smell it, everybody can see it, and there you are. Jesus. We got to deal with it. And the Bible says, it'll be like going through fire. It'll be like going through fire to get that stuff purged out of you then. It'll be like going through fire. You know, some people, they treat that lightly. They say, that's okay. I'll deal with it when I get there. Well, come here. I got a little candle here. You just want to light a little lighter and say, stick your finger here. That's just your finger for a second. I don't think you want your whole being standing before the flames of fire. Of God's judgment, purging these things out of you. Well, you want to see it? Sure you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love God's judgments. They make me clean. He talks all about it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He starts off by saying, and I, brethren, verse 1, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Does that sound familiar? I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Does that sound familiar? See, we just said that over in Hebrews. For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And then notice what he says here. He goes down and he says in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We were just talking about foundations, weren't we? Foundational truths. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day. Everybody say the day. This is the big day. The big day, man. The day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. and fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. In other words, we got this foundation that God's given to us, elementary, basic things that we're to be building on. Some build with precious stones, some build with straw and hay and things that burn. Things that burn. And again, where is all this being built? It's being built in you. It's being built in your soul. It's not so much what's going on around you, it's what's going on in you. What kind of life are you building in you? What kind of life are you building in your soul? So if you're packing yourself with straw like the scarecrow, every opportunity you get, you grab some straw, stick that in there. Oh, that's a good straw right there. And you're walking around like the scarecrow. That's not going to be fun on Judgment Day. He's talking to Christians. Do we need to hear these things? I mean, is it the Bible? I mean, he says it here. He says it here and he says it there. He says it in Corinthians. He says almost the exact same thing over in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. He says almost the exact same thing. Why? Because it's important to get this. It'll change everything about you. There's people keep stuffing all the straw in them. See, the building, I'm a Christian. I got saved. And they're just stuffing straw in there. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Praise God. Imagine receiving a reward from Jesus. Imagine receiving praise from him. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus, look at you and praise you. Say, yes, you did it. Come over here. Let me show everybody what you did. Pull up the video. They start playing the whole thing. You're like, yeah. It's because of you, Lord. You were there. You helped me do it. There you are. Everybody's like, wow, I didn't know he did. I mean, I knew he was okay. But wow. Amazing. Impressive. Wouldn't that be awesome? These are the stars of heaven on the big silver screen of heaven. This is the one that people go, wow. They want the autographs of people like that in heaven. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Down here, they want autographs from slime and sleazy and dirty and filthy. And they like, get your camera out. They like dirty things. But in heaven, we like clean people. We get excited about clean people. We get excited about people, man. It comes up on the silver screen of heaven. Jesus standing there on his throne with the Father. The angels are going through it of what you did in your life on earth. People are just like, wow, wow. And they see you walking the streets of heaven after that. And people bow, not in worship, but in honor and respect. People look and think, wow, and you receive high honors in heaven rather than be one of these folks that are ashamed of themselves in heaven. Thank God he'll wipe away every tear, but they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They'll be sobbing and crying. People will be desperate there. And he'll wipe away every tear, and they'll be happy that they're there. Praise God for that. But so sad. They could have been so much higher. They could have received such greater honor from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't have to go to that lower place. They could have lived in that higher place of honor in the presence of God, which they would enjoy throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. Who wants to forfeit having honor throughout all eternity for some silly, goofy, dishonorable thing down here on the earth that is just a vapor? Just a puff that is here for a little while and is no more. And we're gonna forfeit this offer that has been extended to us. We're gonna forfeit this by staying babies and living in the flesh. Come on, somebody. We're better than that. I said, we're better than that. I'm moving on. I said, I'm moving on from the elementary base, man. I'm going on to perfection. And I'll take every trial, every mishap, every fault. I'll learn from it. I'll repent of it. I'll get up and I'll be stronger. And I will make it so I don't identify with that anymore. I will sever myself from those things. That's my goal. How about you? And then we could be the stars of heaven, held in the right hand of the Master, as we see over in the book of Revelation. He's got stars in his hands. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. So he says in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 3, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, is he going to make heaven? Yeah, he'll make heaven. But it'll be like going through fire, man. And he's talking literal. Picture yourself having to walk through fire to get somewhere. That's what he's saying. He's describing it just like that. Yeah, you'll be saved, yet as through fire. Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles, makes dirty the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. In other words, become a fool to this world, become dull to this world, that you might become sensitive and wise concerning God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one glory or rejoice in men. Don't rejoice in men, for all things are yours, body of Christ. All things are yours. Everybody say, all things are mine. In other words, there's no limit to what you can have. There's no limit to what you can do. All things are yours. Don't let things control you. You rise up in faith in God and you control all things. All things are yours. Don't let all things have you. You don't belong to all things. All things belong to you. But if you belong to all things, then all things aren't going to belong to you. All right, let's get back here to chapter 6. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm going to wash in the Word. Keep myself wet with the water of the Word. Fill myself up with all kinds of precious stones. Spiritual things, not dry, dead things. Living things, holy things, godly things. Man, then what happens? When the fire hits that, shoo, you begin to dazzle. Right? You are, you are just that much more brilliant when the fire and the flickering flames hit you. You got all these jewels in you. And when the flames hit you, you just begin to glisten. I didn't know that was in her. Just glistening. The fire will show it up. I like that, don't you? Praise God. Let the fire show it up. Praise God. Bring it on, Jesus. That's why I never have a problem. If people have a problem with me, I say, well, the day will come. You know, people believe lies about you. Has anybody believed a lie about you? Anybody believe bad things about you? Anybody believe? Well, don't bother about it. The day will be here. The day will come. And it'll get to see what's going on. They'll see who you are. And they'll see what they believed and where they're at. I mean, I have confidence in that day. In fact, I feel bad for a lot of folks. I'm concerned for them because I don't want them to show up on that day and be ashamed. I want them to get it right, you know. But at the same time, I'm not worried about it because we all stand before him someday. So it doesn't matter if men judge you. People could judge you. People could criticize you. That's right. We're all going to be judged by him. Amen. And it'll all be accurate. It'll be the truth. And I like the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm going on to perfection. It's so important to do that. It's so important to keep moving on with God. We want to move on with him because back in Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Here he's talking about people that they did go on with God. They did go on to a level of perfection. They had tasted the heavenly gift. They had been partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God. That's the meat and potatoes of the word. The meat and potatoes of the word and the powers of the age to come. They walked in the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So these are people that advanced in the things of God. He says, if they fall away, he doesn't say it's impossible for God to forgive them, which is how a lot of people read it. He says it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. In other words, it's impossible to get these people to repent because they came so far and then they fell that they don't have it in them to repent. That's a dangerous place to be. That's why I want to keep moving forward. It goes back to what I was saying before, you know. I mean, don't take repentance for granted. Keep receiving from God. But I've had people come to say, "Well, I think that's me. I think I committed the unpardonable sin." Of course, I think to myself, well, you don't know much about the good word of God. You haven't tasted much of that. And you haven't walked in the power of the age to come. You haven't walked in that at all. But nevertheless, I always just tell them, if you have a desire to repent, then that's not you. That's not you. That's for those that do not have any desire to repent anymore. That's what he's talking about there. And people can get to that place. They go so high and they fall so hard that they don't even repent. They're so hardened that they don't want to repent anymore. So this is all written to Christians, and we need to understand these things. So what we do is guard our heart with all diligence. We stay on ourselves. Come on, be your own disciplinarian. Be on top of yourself. Be your own drill sergeant. Let the drill sergeant within arise. I said, let the drill sergeant within arise. Let him rise up on the inside of you. Take charge of things. Don't take things lightly when it comes to spiritual things. You can take the world lightly. And let's grow more and more sensitive to God and duller and duller and duller to the devil so that we just live in perfect peace all the days of our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.